This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We hit the guest line, kicking off the third and final hour in style, and he does a fantastic job covering college basketball for CBS Sports. And a college hoops insider, John Rothstein, joins us now. NBA draft coming your way Thursday night. It's an action-packed time for John Rothstein, who my guys tell me, John, you just got out of the gym, correct?
Yeah, just got a workout in Moose, so trying to multitask right now. You know, there's never enough hours in the day when you have something like the NBA draft coming to the forefront.
Now, John, how hard of a workout was it? A little cardio, or was today a chest day?
Today, Tuesday, Thursday is usually a straight cardio day with some abdomen work after Monday, Wednesday, Friday. I combine cardio and lifting.
There you go, John. There you go. I'm glad you got your workout in and fit us into your busy schedule. Let's start here. When high impact players, right? When you look at this draft, is there a line, talent level? How deep, when you look at NBA impact players, do you think there is at the top of this draft?
You know, Moose, I think we have a major drop-off after the first overall spot after DeAndre Ayton goes off the board. I think there are players after DeAndre Ayton that are going to be productive NBA players for a long time and have the chops to be starters on teams that play deep into the NBA playoffs. But there's definitely a drop-off when Ayton goes off the board to the Phoenix Suns.
John, let's talk specifically about Luka Doncic, just in a vacuum, not about team needs or who's picking where, just where does he line up on your list of best players in this draft?
He's definitely in the top four, Andrew, along with DeAndre Ayton, Marvin Bagley, and Jaren Jackson Jr. You know, talking to scouts and people who have been familiar with Luka's game from the time he spent overseas, the comparison right now that a lot of people have for Luka Doncic is that of Hedo Turkoglu when he played with the Orlando Magic. If you remember back 9 years ago when the Orlando Magic went to the NBA Finals in 2009, they beat Cleveland in the Eastern Conference Finals. Cleveland won 66-16 that season. And Jameer Nelson got hurt during the latter part of the postseason that year, and we saw Hedo Turkoglu come into more of a facilitating role. That seems to be the comparison that a lot of people are making that I've spoken with regarding Luka Doncic, the talented guard at 6'8".
You know, John, you mentioned with Ayton that you think there's a drop-off to him. For those that didn't watch a lot of college hoops, give our fans a little bit of a feel of what DeAndre Ayton is going to be as an NBA player.
Somebody who looks like he's physically ready down the line to be a right-handed version of David Robinson. 20-12-2. As a college freshman. And here's something that I think is important to point out. DeAndre Ayton put up those numbers, and Arizona was a team last year that played 2 7-footers together up front in DeAndre Ayton and Dušan Ristić. You guys obviously know when you play 2 7-footers together, there's more clutter, there's not as much spacing. It makes it more impressive to me that he got those type of numbers.
John, I know you look at this more from a college perspective than an NBA one, but we started the morning talking about Kawhi Leonard and trade possibilities. Based on how much you like DeAndre Ayton, if you were the Suns and the Spurs came asking for number one for Leonard, would you do that trade, or would you stay there and take Ayton because you think he could be that good?
You know, I don't want to speculate on speculation because I don't know what the offer is on the other side, but I do know that you're looking at somebody who is as physically gifted a specimen and a prospect as we've seen in quite some time in college basketball. A guy who, again, at 7-1, effortlessly put up 20-12 as a college freshman, and everybody wants to chastise, obviously, his motor a little bit. Here's what I say to the people who chastise DeAndre Ayton's motor. He had 6 games last season with 15 rebounds or more. And another thing, and I am not an NBA guy, so to speak, but we saw times, obviously, in the postseason where switching on the smaller players is something that obviously is going to be paramount if you're going to be a capable defender as a big man in the NBA. DeAndre Ayton's lateral quickness is something that can't be understated when you think about how big switching could be in today's NBA.
All right, John, let's talk about Bagley Jr., Marvin Bagley III from Duke. What about him? He was great for Krzyzewski last year, fantastic as a Blue Devil. What do you think he is as an NBA player?
An elite producer, regardless of where he goes. Somebody who's always going to get his numbers and get his numbers with high efficiency. And I'm not comparing him to Tim Duncan by any stretch of the imagination because they're different players. But as a collegiate freshman at Wake Forest, Tim Duncan gave you 9-6 and 9-8. 21-11 for Bagley as a college freshman, 61% from the floor, and also 11 rebounds. Now, the big really conundrum for a lot of executives that I'm speaking with at the top of the draft is debating between Marvin Bagley III and Jaren Jackson Jr. from Michigan State. Now, what's the big difference? One is adept at protecting the rim, and one isn't. Bagley last year for Duke played 1,118 minutes, only blocked 29 shots. Jackson, in just over 700 minutes, blocked 106.
John, what do we do with Trae Young? I mean, he was the story of the college basketball season for a large chunk of it. What's been dissected from his game as it kind of projects to the NBA level now?
Well, you're looking at somebody who is elite on one end of the floor. Elite on one end of the floor. 9 games last season with 5 or more 3-point shots, but is pedestrian on the other end of the floor. So does an NBA team want to live with a guy who is off the charts on one end and obviously below average on the other? But here's one thing I think that's really important to point out, and this is important for people who, again, just follow Trae Young from the periphery. Oklahoma's downward spiral at the end of the season can't be solely put on Trae Young. Anytime you're a playmaking point guard who obviously is going to be put in screen and roll action with regularity, you need to have a pick-and-pop four-man that can extend the defense. Brady Manek, Oklahoma's starting power forward last year, made 59 threes on the season. 48 were before February 1st.
John, a follow-up to Trae Young, Colin Sexton then in this draft as well. Are they apples to apples here? Is it kind of one or the other? Or is there a clear delineation between these two if you're thinking you need a lead guard in this draft?
You know, this is somebody who likes, obviously, thin crust versus Sicilian, Andrew, if you want to know the honest truth.
Because, we'll go that way, sure.
I mean, you're looking at somebody who is more like a shooting point guard in Trae Young, a high-volume guy who did lead the nation in scoring and assists as a true freshman, versus somebody who's built like an Adonis in Colin Sexton, who has more of a physical feel of a Chris Dunn or an Eric Bledsoe. So they're very different players. The executive that selects Trae Young or Colin Sexton is going to want either a prolific shooter with limitations on defense or a guy who really looks like an Adonis, Colin Sexton.
You know, I'm curious here about Jackson from Michigan State, where you look at his production, not off the charts, talent level is there. What about those that are going to look at him and say, well, he wasn't exactly dominant at Michigan State. Why am I going to believe that all of a sudden he's going to put everything together here in the NBA level?
Well, Moose, I mean, I think if you watch Michigan State last year, and I know a lot of people obviously are just learning about Jaren Jackson from junior for the first time, you realize that there was clutter in the Michigan State front court. Miles Bridges made the decision to come back to school for his sophomore year so he could play the three. And it turned out about halfway through the year that everybody, probably the Michigan State staff included, felt that Bridges was better at the four, so he started playing there more in end-of-game situations. What did that mean for the other guy up front if Miles Bridges at the four? Either Jaren Jackson Jr. or Nick Ward, the brute lefty inside for Michigan State, was going to be kept out of the game. So I think sometimes, guys, you know, depth can be overrated, especially in game situations. And that's one of the things that happened with Michigan State last year. It affected the minutes and the longevity that Jaren Jackson Jr. could stay on the floor.
John, Dante DiVincenzo stole our hearts in the Final Four, the title game. What does he do as an NBA player? Where does he go on Thursday?
Yeah, Dante DiVincenzo is somebody who, you know, I think is going to get drafted potentially in the latter part of the team. He has played his way into that type of role. And, you know, he's somebody, guys, too, I think this is really important, who is very comfortable coming off the bench and contributing, because that's what he did at Villanova. He did not start this past season. I would pay attention to teams starting in the late teens when it comes to Dante DiVincenzo, who really, I think, if he refines his handle, could be in line for a Kirk Heinrich type of NBA career.
All right, we're talking to John Rothstein here, CBS Sports College Hoops Insider. How about Mo Bamba from Texas here, John?
You know, if there's somebody in the top five that makes me really, really tepid, it is Mo Bamba. And this is the reason. And I, again, am not an NBA guy, but studying the league the last month during the playoffs, talking to people, the low post center, okay, is like an endangered species. So if you're not somebody that can face up and extend the defense, you are going to be a liability. Now, I can tell you this from being in a Texas practice last year. Mo Bamba is a more capable three-point shooter than he showed. But people who coached against him, people who play against him, question the motor. Obviously, you question how fluid he's going to be offensively. I think right now, when you look at today's NBA and you look at how important it is for somebody to be able to stretch the defense from deep from the five spot, guys like Jaren Jackson Jr., even a Marvin Bagley, who can play the five in the NBA right now with the way the league is going, a better value pick than Mo Bamba.
John, you talk to so many people. You watch so many games. Is there anybody that we're not talking about enough that you think is going to sneak, you know, a little farther up the draft board on Thursday than we're expecting?
Jerome Robinson from Boston College is the sleeper in the 2018 NBA draft. You look right now again at today's NBA. It's about shot making. Jerome Robinson last year, over 40% from three, over 80 made threes. Think Jordan Clarkson with more offense. I had the chance last week to talk to Jim Boeheim. He told me, John, in my opinion, last year, Jerome Robinson was the best player in the ACC. That's saying something.
All right. A couple of the players we have yet to mention. Kevin Knox from Kentucky. Was really good last year for Calipari. How does his game, do you think, translate to the NBA level? What are you hearing from scouts, John?
You know, the new in position in the NBA is combo forward because of the way spacing has come to the forefront. Kevin Knox, a typical combo forward, will be better at the four in the NBA than he was at the three sometimes last year for Kentucky.
John, internationally, anybody besides Doncic that really stands out in your mind?
Not a great international draft, you know, to be honest, Andrew, in terms of the depth. I think, you know, you're obviously going to look at Luka Doncic as being the crown jewel in that regard. So I don't think there will be a lot of, you know, Mache Lampes like there was for the Knicks in 2003, 15 years ago at the 30th overall spot.
All right. What about the other guy I'm curious about, because he was a huge high school player, eventually ended up in Missouri, back surgery. How about Porter coming out of Missouri?
The highest risk, highest reward prospect in the 2018 NBA draft, because there's no sample size. Now, I want to share this with you guys. 2 years ago, I am at the Elite 24 event, the Under Armour event in Brooklyn, watching Michael Porter Jr., and people are projecting him to be the first overall pick in the NBA draft ahead of DeAndre Ayton. The only real sample size that we have at full strength in college was an exhibition game against Kansas last October in Kansas City. In 23 minutes, Porter got 21-8. Again, highest risk, also maybe highest reward for Michael Porter. This much I can tell you, at a private workout 2 weeks in Chicago, he shot the ball exceptionally well, similar to Kevin Knox in the sense that he is now your prototypical combo forward, somebody potentially that could go between the three and the four spot.
You mentioned highest risk, highest reward. The talent is there. What's the big concern with Porter here?
Toughness. Is he going to be able to deal with the physicality of the NBA? Is he going to be able to fight through adversity? You know, one of the things you learn, Moose, is that, you know, when you have these highly rated prospects, okay, all of a sudden, you know, they have gotten from the time they're 14 or 15 years old everything they've wanted from the game of basketball. There's attention. There's a big social media following. And now all of a sudden, for the first time in their life, after a half a decade span of being the center of attention, they're mortal again. There's just another guy in the locker room. They have to fight for playing time. They have to fight for relevancy. They're not being coddled the way they were in high school, AAU, and college.
All right, final one for me, and that is we'll circle back to where we began, and that's DeAndre Ayton here. You mentioned it. It's him and then everybody else in this draft class. Is he the type of player that is a franchise-changing player for the Phoenix Suns?
Well, this much I can tell you. You know, you look right now at centers being a rare commodity in the NBA, and I know that, you know, you are going to see, you know, less and less people put a focus on the five man because of the way the NBA is going. This is somebody who, when I was in Tucson last year in the preseason with Arizona's program, somebody who can shoot the ball like a David West, somebody who, again, has the size of a Lauri Markkanen. What I'm telling you is this. I think down the road, whether it's for Phoenix or somebody else, DeAndre Ayton in 3 to 5 years is going to be the type of player that in a playoff series could stand nose-to-nose with Joel Embiid and hold his own in a best-of-seven.
John, let's fast forward a couple of years. It looks like we're going to get some kind of change to the eligibility rules. What do college coaches want the draft setup to look like, and will they actually get that plan in place?
You know, I think the feeling right now among college coaches is that, you know, college basketball needs the NBA's help, and for the kids who want to be in the NBA or want to be in the G League to have the right to go right out of high school. And that may obviously water down the talent level in college basketball, but you'll just see more programs look like Villanova looked the past year, like Michigan looked the past year. You'll have older, more seasoned teams. And, you know, I think the talent base in college basketball might not be as fertile and rich, but the sport might be better off health-wise.
John Rothstein, a CBS Sports College Hoops Insider. John, you got draft specials every night?
We ever doing stuff on CBS, yeah, and obviously, you know, through other avenues, obviously, all week.
There you go. Hey, John, glad you had a good workout this morning, and we appreciate the knowledge, all right?
Moose, I'm just happy we got on the phone, man. You're tougher to track down than the president.
No, I know. I owe you a phone. John, it's been – I've had plumbing issues at the house, the kids. I've got issues, so I apologize about that.
I was coming to you for life advice, and again, I get the Heisman Trophy like your Desmond.
Wow. Oh, stop. Wow. Stop. Stop. John, I love you, brother. Have a good day. We'll talk again soon, all right, bro?
Thanks for having me, guys.
You
later,
got it. John Rothstein.
I'd be more than happy to listen to John's issues, but
John Rothstein, a CBS Sports College Hoops Insider.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.